Hi, everyone. I'm Gary Nall. Nice to have you with us today. We're going to learn how to restore the youthful cell function via autophagy. A-U-T-O-P-H-A-G-Y. I'll be explaining that. Also, three nutrients to repair damaged skin. Now, we all have damaged skin. Much of it accumulated early in life when we spent too much time out in the sun and didn't care about the consequences because we got that nice tan. Well, now, after the age of 30, you're starting to see your skin really age. We'll talk about that. Also, I'm going to talk about probiotics used to help with fewer upper respiratory tract symptoms, how women needed knee replacements shown to have vitamin D deficiency. And then I'm going to have more, almost like classroom on the air today, about lithium extending your lifespan and slowing your brain aging. Those are some of the topics on health and healing. But then I'm going to do several commentaries, some of my own that I wrote last night. And I base mine upon what I see happening in the world around us each day. But we're also going to hear about why renewables cannot save the planet with Michael Schellenberger. Now, this is a TED talk, and some of which I agree with, but his main thesis I do not agree with, but I feel that what he is saying as an environmentalist and in good intent is correct. His solution is wrong. So when you hear him talking, why would Gary have someone on talking about nuclear power? Because he's giving you his perspective. But what he said about why we need nuclear power and why solar and wind are failing us and shouldn't be where we put all of our efforts, he is correct. And unfortunately, the whole New Green Deal is led by people who are functionally misguided when it comes to understanding the solutions to our environment. So we will challenge them in a polite way, not shaming anyone, because they may be giving us the best energy they have. They may want to solve a problem. The fact they're using the wrong solution should not be used against them. Instead, maybe the information that we share today can get to them, and they'll see there's another way. Also today, one of the really interesting explanations of why we think the way we do, act the way we do, watch what we watch, and listen to what we listen to. That's important. And then, time permitting, Bill Maher, the messaging czar. Where do we get our messages? He has some interesting insights on that. Again, he's a person that a lot of stuff I disagree with, but on some things, he is spot on. During the entire program, feel free to call in and share your points of view on what is being discussed. Our talkback number is 888-874-4888. That's 888-874-4888. Now, we're going to start with probiotics because they are so important in keeping our immune system strong and vital. And we're not getting enough of them. So the findings from a study presented at a digestive disease conference of scientists reveal an association between the use of probiotics and the reduction in upper respiratory tract symptoms. And if you're overweight, and if you're a little older, it's particularly important. The research team reviewed the backgrounds of the individuals during a trial to determine the presence of upper respiratory tract symptoms, sore throat, wheezing, and coughing. After 1 to 2 weeks of supplementation, that's it, the subjects who received the probiotics exhibited a delay in the time it took to record their first upper respiratory tract symptoms. In fact, there was a 27% lower incidence of upper respiratory tract symptoms reported by probiotic supplement participants than in the placebo group. And that's important. I mean, after all, we all want to have a healthier immune system, and that's just with one nutrient. Imagine if they added in vitamin D and vitamin C, which have been shown to delay the onset of a cold or flu, but also frequently eliminated completely. Then from Nutrition Neuroscience, the peer-reviewed journal, there's a report about how magnesium, the B-complex, green tea, rhodiola, and management can manage stress. Now, rhodiola is R-H-O-D-I-O-L-A. And it's reported that social stress is absolutely reduced with magnesium, the B-complex, green tea, and rhodiola. So, people either took a placebo or they took a combination of folic acid, green tea, B12, B6, magnesium, and rhodiola. And there was a big difference in stress levels when rhodiola and these B-complex magnesium was taken. Just something we can do on a daily basis that can help us. Now, there's a lot of things that happen in a woman's body that could be prevented, or when they do happen, could be ameliorated without first relying upon drug therapies. Now, here's a study that was published in the peer-reviewed journal Menopause. Having enough vitamin D3 may not only help prevent some pain associated with total knee replacement surgery, but could help to prevent the condition in the first place. The researchers included 226 postmenopausal women scheduled for total knee replacement who had vitamin D levels less than 30 ng per ml. And of the women needing knee surgery replacement, 67% had less than 30. That meant that the greater reduction in vitamin D in a body, the worse you were as far as being deficient, the greater likelihood you would have knee replacement. So just imagine if you took vitamin D3 every day, you could help prevent that altogether. From the Journals of Gerontology series, higher dietary antioxidant intake is associated with lower cognitive impairment. Now, there are several studies on this, and I recited one earlier in the week, but this one's important. Among older individuals, older meaning over the age of 50, if you consume a lot of fruits and vegetables, which are rich in antioxidants, you have a lower risk of cognitive impairment later in life. And cognitive function was evaluated 20 years after the beginning of the study in 1993. So among those whose comprehensive dietary antioxidant index placed them among the top 25%, meaning those who had the most fruits and vegetables and juices made from those, the odds of developing cognitive impairment were 16% lower than those of the participants who were in the lowest 25%, those who didn't eat a lot of fruits and vegetables. Now, mind you, that does not take into account exercising. It doesn't take into account autophagy therapy, stem cell therapy, mindfulness, better dealing with stress. None of that. All of those, however, have been shown to reduce cognitive decline. So get your antioxidants. Now I'm going to be doing and this was published in the Journal of Gerontology and Biological Science and Medicine and Science. And so what this is saying is simple. We need far more fruits and vegetables than what we've been consuming. The amount that you see the average person consuming is way, way too few. And this is not their fault, because we've been conditioned for decades, at least the last three generations have been conditioned to believe that your primary intake each day should be first and foremost protein from animal sources, secondly, your carbohydrates and sugars included in that, and almost all the carbohydrates we're consuming today are processed, they're dead and denatured, and they create disease and inflammation in the body. And fruits and vegetables are about at the bottom of the pyramid. So that's why most people don't consume a lot of fruits and vegetables, because you get filled up on your protein. I mean, just think of how many people had their Thanksgiving meal. First, they overate, consume way too many calories, and most of the food they ate was either turkey or ham. That's traditional in the United States, at least, both of which have cancer-causing agents in just the cooking process, heterocyclic amines. But then you have the gravies, and you have the muffins and buns and everything else that is eaten. And it's rare to find anything in there that is actually healthy. And then they overconsume too many calories, when just the opposite is important. The fewer the calories you consume compared to what your body actually needs, the longer you live. That's science. So just something to think about. Also, right now the phages, P-H-A-G-E-S, are regaining some mainstream recognition. And I'm glad to see that, because for a long time, nobody paid attention to this. And so we're going to pay some attention to that. We're also going to pay attention to some conditions in this upcoming series of Classroom on the Air that I'm going to share with you, including what we can do. I mean, just practical information that we can help with dementia and Alzheimer's and Parkinson's. In fact, let me just share some of that right now. What we're finding is that compounds found in green tea can help protect your brain and booster your brain and central nervous system. There was a meta-analysis that found that the rate of cognitive disorders are 35% lower in people who regularly drank green tea. Parkinson's disease risk was reduced by 26% for every 2 cups per day of tea consumed. Now, listen to what I just said. 26% less for every 2 cups. So if you had 4 cups a day, which is not unreasonable, or took the supplements, which would be very easy, then you could get 1,000 milligrams of green tea in a day. So you should be able to reduce your risk there by a Parkinson's by about 80%. Because the supplements are far more powerful than the cups. You get a lot more in the supplement than you do in the cups. But even 4 cups a day, you're reducing it by 52%. Just one item. That doesn't include all the other things that can help as well. And the compounds found in green tea work in several different ways to boost your brain function and guard against cognitive decline. And for those who may not consume enough green tea, standardized extracts provide the beneficial polyphenols called catechins, or catechins, either way, C-A-T-E-C-H-I-N-S, and those you can get in capsule form. The plant that the green tea comes from is Camellia sinensis. It's packed with health-promoting compounds, and there's where you get your catechins. Now, one of the most abundant and widely studied catechins in green tea is EPA, E-P-I, GALLO, G-A-L-L-O, catechins, or E-G-C-G. And there are thousands of studies showing how powerful green tea is in helping all kinds of things in the body. But it can improve your brain performance and mood. Yes, your mood can be improved. Researchers use memory tasks and an advanced imaging technology called functional MRI to evaluate cognitive function in the healthy volunteers. They found that people who were given a green tea extract performed better on memory tasks. They also observed enhanced cognitive connectivity between areas in the brain involved in tasks. Now, what's this mean? In lay language, this means they were able to demonstrate physiological changes in your brain that correlated with improved mental function. Now, another study using the electroencephalograph to monitor brain activity saw an overall increase in brain wave activity after consuming green tea. And cognitive enhancement isn't the only mental function impacted by green tea. In studies in healthy adults, green tea also reduced psychological stress, including feelings of anxiety and depression, that led to a feeling of calmness. But since I'm working with so many people right now who have cognitive decline directly in some cases, but through their family in other cases, studies in humans have demonstrated a clear association between drinking green tea and a lower occurrence of cognitive disorders, including everything from mild cognitive impairment to full-blown Alzheimer's. One of the largest studies, with over 52,000 participants in countries around the world, found that tea significantly reduced the rate of multiple kinds of cognitive disorders by 35%. Just it, nothing else, just green tea. And the rate of cognitive disorders in habitual drinkers was 36%. And that's terrific. So it also helps with Parkinson's. And we know that Parkinson's disease is a neurodegenerative disorder that mostly affects nerve cells in the brain that produce the neurotransmitter dopamine. And it's marked by a progressive loss of motor function, creating difficulties, including tremors and slowed movement and difficulty initiating movements. In more advanced cases, cognitive loss occurs as well, leading to slow thinking and dementia. But green tea showed a 40% lower rate of Parkinson's was found when compared to those who routinely consume less tea. So the more tea, the better. Another meta-analysis of 344,000 individuals all over the world observed, again, enhanced cognitive when you're drinking your green tea. So you want your brain to be healthy. This is one of those nutrients, something simple. So why hasn't medicine jumped on this? Why hasn't Big Pharma? Because they can't patent it. They can't profit from it. It's just that simple. So let me just summarize this. When you're drinking your green tea, you're boosting what is called neurogenesis, meaning the creation of new brain cells, and neuroplasticity, the ability of the brain to adapt into older age. You're also shielding your brain from the progressive damage that leads to neurodegenerative disorders. And you're offering neuroprotection against injuries such as stroke and head trauma. In short, green tea also boosts cognitive function, supporting your better attention and focus and improvement in mood and enhanced memory. So it just shows you why it's so important. And one last thing I want to share today is about lithium, because most people don't know what lithium is. Well, isn't it a mineral of some kind? Yeah, it is. It's very important. In areas where lithium is naturally abundant in the drinking water, people tend to live longer and healthier lives. It's a low-cost mineral that supports cognition, neurofunctioning, and healthy aging. Yeah, you don't need a lot of it. You just 1 milligram of lithium per day is enough, you know, to help you out. But most people are not getting their lithium. Most people are not getting a lot of things they need. They're not getting NAC and acetylcysteine, which boosts your immune function and supports healthy respiratory function. So why isn't it that every hospital in the United States, every emergency room doctor and nurse are not aware of the power of NAC for people who are suffering from lung dysfunction? I had a person on the air several times. In fact, about 3 or 4 times. I filmed him. So he talked about all this. He didn't shy away. He's from Atlanta. I believe he's around 70, more or less. African-American male, not overweight, great, great shape, by the way. If you just looked at his body from the neck down, I'll bet you wouldn't guess he was over 25 years old. But he is. And he had COPD terminal stage. He also had leukemia terminal stage. Working for less than 3 weeks, was able to reverse both. Even his oncologist said, I don't know what you're doing, but keep doing it. He was able to reverse the very disease that killed his brothers and his father. Because he was going into hospice care. Instead, he came to an anti-aging group. And that was the outcome. So Just remember, there's a lot of different realities in life. There's the sincere and dedicated physician who says, I'm going to do everything I can. Then they open up their toolbox, and it's just all either surgery, radiation, chemotherapy, or various pharmaceuticals. And when that doesn't work, it's hospice care. But then realize there are others out there, millions of others, who have looked for a different way of helping it. Not to deny there's not virtue in life-saving in many of those Orthodox, but the majority of Orthodox for chronic care, arthritis, heart disease, cancer, do not work. So there should be more openness and willingness to cooperate. And virtually everything in the alternative field that we discuss is in the peer-reviewed literature. But lithium is one of those that gets no attention. In fact, there are people around the world for centuries that have made pilgrimages to springs that were naturally high in lithium. One site in Georgia is Lithia Springs, L-I-T-H-I-A, and was visited by Mark Twain. At least four presidents and other prominent figures, all because of the famous lithium water. The more that the scientists studied lithium, the more persuasive the evidence has become of its unique effects. Scientists found that lithium can prevent cognitive decline. And a lot of preclinical studies have shown it activates pathways that can slow the aging process. In one study, high dose lithium increased the median lifespan by 46% in these animals. Two studies have found that individuals living in areas with even modest levels of lithium in drinking water live longer, as little as 300 micrograms mcg to 1,000 micrograms, which is 1 milligram of lithium daily, can provide the benefits. And so what is it? I want to try to keep it simple. Lithium, L-I-T-H-I-U-M, is a naturally occurring mineral found in rocks and subsoil in some geographical areas. Some natural water sources contain small amounts of lithium. By the 19th century, many people had come to believe that there were health and longevity benefits to drinking that water, and it also became linked to improved mood. Both of those have now been confirmed. For instance, two studies found that people living in areas with even low levels of lithium in the drinking water tend to live longer. One key to lithium's benefit appears to be its ability to inhibit a cellular enzyme called glycogen synthase kinase 3, or GSK3. So GSK3 controls several important functions within cells, but overactivity of GSK3 can be harmful. Increased GS3 activity correlates with rapid aging of many tissues in the entire body. Its impact is so dramatic that GHK3 can be thought of as an age-accelerating enzyme. So overactivity of GSK3 is linked to chronic diseases, including Alzheimer's, type 2 diabetes, some cancers, and mood disorders. Even in low doses, lithium reduces GSK3 overactivity. Studies suggest that this GSK3 inhibition is largely responsible for lithium's ability to protect brain function and provide healthy aging. And science have noted that people taking high-dose lithium for medical reasons generally have lower death rates, including lower rates of death due to cardiovascular disease. And controlled experiments have been conducted to rigorously explore possible life-extending effects of lithium. And these studies showed that low-dose lithium led to modest increases in lifespan in roundworms known as C. elegans. Higher doses of lithium led to longer lifespans in both roundworms and fruit flies. In one of these studies, median survival was boosted by 46%. So evidence for these and other studies suggest that in addition to inhibiting GSK3, lithium exerted pro-longevity in three ways. Lithium may help maintain longer telomeres, protective structures related to cellular health. Lithium regulates genes that related to healthy DNA structure, and lithium may protect against cell senescence. Senescent cells are contributors to age-related disease and accelerated aging. So together, these mechanisms may help slow the aging process and protect against chronic disease. Now, on an upcoming program, I'll talk about in specific detail, greater detail, how lithium is neuroprotective, how it protects your brain, and how it helps balance circadian rhythms so you get a better night's sleep, and how it protects your adrenal effects and your gray matter and your cerebral cortex and your hippocampus. All of these are important, and I'll break it into lay language so that you can do this on your own. You can get started, all right? Again, all these are pieces to the puzzle, and my goal is to bring you pieces of the puzzle, put them together, see what works for you, and if it doesn't work, fine. There's a lot more that we can use. Now we're going to take a break, and when we come back from the break, we're going to go to a clip about what we are watching right now in the world, how we're being controlled. And Robert F. Kennedy Jr. went into this in some depth when I did a live Zoom with him last week. And I hope that you download that because it really should be shared with many people, because he's showing that all that we're experiencing now was planned years in advance. And now we're putting the pieces together. Now, to help you and help others, there's so much misinformation floating around the internet, and there's so many well-intentioned people, Claire, Cindy, many others. You are doing the best you can to share information, but the trouble is the information you're sharing is almost never correct because your general source is incorrect. Now, why it's incorrect, I can't say. Is it political, ideological? But what you don't want to do is share misinformation. So because we engage in scholarship, deep scholarship, we review everything. So what I've done is you can go to GaryNall.com. We're having a little difficulty today on PRN because we had a problem with our connectivity, and we're trying to get that corrected today. But in any case, I selected a group of articles, I think more or less 25 articles. Now, these are all, as you will see, high quality. The scientists are pro-vaccine, mainstream, no controversy, and they're showing you the truth. And so you have the evidence at hand, because what happens is when the people in the mainstream media or people in the government go to say something, you won't know whether to trust them or not. Maybe they're correct, maybe they're not. How would you know? Well, now you'll be able to go and download these. Now, when we come back from her talk, I'm going to go over some of the papers so everyone can see just today. I'm only talking about one day's worth of papers that were put up there to help guide you in having good arguments to push back. And by the way, there's one video up there just loaded up this morning. It shows you demonstrations all over the world. Good for them. We support them. To my friends and listeners in Australia, get even more of you out into the streets. You know what was remarkable? Here are thousands of people in front of a parliamentary building, totally silent, and a woman was playing a violin. Beautiful piece. There was no violence. There was just people coming together with signs or placards stating their opposition to the government policies. Every one of them is now considered an enemy of the state, a domestic terrorist, because they didn't want the government to put them in lockdown and take away all their rights. And as you can see, they're putting detention camps together. They're getting the army to arrest people and put them in there if they're not vaccinated. And even if in Israel you've had two vaccines, if you don't get your booster vaccines, you're no longer going to be able to use your green vaccine card. So if the first two didn't work, and the next two are just like the first two, that means your body has been assaulted by four different vaccines or biological implants of the coronavirus without any consideration whatsoever for a single reason medically. If you had cancer, if you had autoimmune condition, if you had a heart transplant, the government of the United States, Anthony Fauci, the CDC, the FDA, all of the heads of governments around the world, they don't care. They don't care if you die. This is not about protecting you. If you haven't figured that out, you shouldn't be listening to my program. Listen to something else on Pacifica, all right? Because I'm trying to let you show that this is a game and you're being played. If they cared, then they would look at your medical conditions and they would see who is most likely to benefit from the vaccines, in which case they would be given appropriately. They're not. It's about profit and power and controlling your future through the Great Reset, which is already occurring. So we're going to deal with this today. But at least now you have one place to go, and all of our information has been qualified, or it doesn't get up there. We probably reject 80% to 90% of all the stuff that comes across the internet because it's just not accurate. Our information is accurate. You could use it in a court of law. Back in a moment. Please stay with us.
Professor of Clinical Psychology at Ghent University in Belgium, Dr. Desmet delivered his explanation of the insanity we're watching right now with abject horror, and it made perfect sense to me. In fact, it's happened before. What he talks about has happened before many times. So I was very intrigued after watching his interview, so I started checking into some of the things that he said, and I am going to share with you some of what he said and then some of what I dug up. This will be a hybrid between excerpts from the interview and then some of the information background-wise I dug up. So mass formation is a term that was first used by French philosopher Gustave Le Bon, who described how the psychology of herds differs from that of the individual. He explained that membership in a crowd or a group can transform people, herding them into a collective mind, which makes them feel, think, and act differently than they would if they were in isolation. When this happens, the person's personality disappears, intelligence is lowered, and the result can either be heroic or it can be criminal, but generally it tends to be destructive. In short, mass formation is a form of deep hypnosis that can cause people to become oblivious, even to harm that is being inflicted on them. There are four conditions that create the perfect storm for a mass formation. And I think when I tell you what they are, you'll see that this was exactly what was going on in our country and in the world prior to this COVID nonsense. You need large numbers of socially isolated people, and people are very isolated. The connections between people are very frail, and we're very frail, and you can kind of see that in how easy it was to get people to turn on one another. You need large numbers of people who feel that their life has no meaning. And then a lot of what's referred to as free-floating anxiety, meaning there's no target for it. Like if there was a wild animal outside my door, I would have reason to believe that there was something terrible going on. But in this case, the person doesn't know why he's anxious. It's just generalized anxiety. And it's particularly serious because it's pretty easy to get people in this situation and in this frame of mind to become panicked. And then a lot of free-floating discontent and anger and frustration. And again, at nothing in particular, it's just very generalized. There's a fourth condition as well. And again, I think you'll see that this is exactly what was going on before this started, and that is mass media. The mass media, in fact, has to be corrupt because the mass media is the method of delivering the propaganda that is necessary for a mass formation. Desmet cites some examples of the conditions he says indicated that all this was in place. I mean, I wrote about some of this in my book, COVID Operation, but he says people were burned out. A survey showed that between 40 and 70% of people in modern society said their jobs were useless and senseless. And then the use of psychiatric drugs. In Belgium, he reports that in a population of only 11.5 million people, there were 300 million doses of antidepressants being prescribed every single year. Well, what happens when all of this comes together in this perfect storm, if you will, is that someone or a group of someones connects the anxiety to an object. In this case, you have something to be anxious about. It's COVID-19. and then uses the mainstream media to sell the idea. The perpetrators then offer a strategy for dealing with the object of anxiety and thus offering future relief from anxiety, which is very reassuring to the people who are listening to this. The hypnotized crowd then begins to have a very narrow field of attention, like a deep hypnosis, and closes out everything except what the hypnotist or perpetrator says is important. They become not only indifferent to the suffering inflicted on others, but also to the damage that's done to them. They become willing to sacrifice everything for the collective, in this case with COVID, in the interest of saving lives. They feel no empathy for people going bankrupt, children who are committing suicide, elderly people dying alone, or even separation from family members who have a different point of view. They're so relieved that there is finally some relief from the free-floating anxiety that nothing else really matters to them. They've acquired meaning and purpose in life that they didn't have before this started. They join the collective and they believe they're engaged in an heroic battle against the enemy, in this case, the virus. It's a form of mental intoxication that is indistinguishable from hypnosis. And being part of the solution is a form of mentally intoxicating connectedness that they don't want to give up. Any suggestion of going back to the way things were before is horrible. It's horrifying to them. They shut out anything that might indicate that the narrative is wrong. They don't want to go back to that place that they were before with the free-floating anxiety that they've now found relief from, and they don't want their meaningless lives back. At this time, the motivations and goals of the rulers and the people being ruled are the same, which is a very, very dangerous combination. And Desmet also says the more absurd the narrative is, the better it functions as a ritual. And it doesn't matter whether or not the narrative is right. And so rituals are very important for cults, for example. And the more crazy the ritual is, the more distinctive it is to this particular thing, and the more they are sure that this is what's necessary for this particular thing. At this point, people are divided into friends or foes, and foes need to be banished or destroyed. Well, when this all takes place, there are three groups of people that form every time. 30% are hypnotized and they can't be reached no matter what you do. And I was kind of relieved to see this. I mean, it's discouraging and frightening actually to see the extent to which these people are hypnotized. But I have people asking me all the time, why don't you put together information we can take to skeptical people? And why don't you put together information that we can take to the county commissioners and the school board? There isn't anything you're going to give these people. And I think really understanding this particular situation would get people to stop paying attention to all of that and really focus on some other things, which I'll get to later. So you've got 30% hypnotized, you can't reach them no matter what you do. 40% who usually tend to follow the crowd and they're bystanders, they're watching it all go on. And then 30% like us who are not hypnotized and speak out and resist. And he says the biggest problem is that this is a large group of people, obviously 30%, but they're quite divided and, you know, they have lots of different objectives and that sort of thing. But he says if the whole 30% could somehow get on the same page, they could make this end very, very quickly. Intelligence does not inoculate people against this type of hypnosis. The hypnotized are generally people who are intelligent, educated, and well off. In fact, many of the well-off could afford to take a break from life or work or school and even welcome the opportunity. You probably know some people like that. If we're going to reach any of the 30% hypnotized, if there's anything at all that would get to them, it really is that that not going back to the old normal, but that a better future could be made that would be better than the thing that they're trying to get away from. The mob can only continue if it has an enemy, and this is where things get a little bit frightening. In the beginning, the enemy was the virus, and now it's becoming people who don't fear the virus and who are speaking out and who don't want to get vaccinated and that sort of thing. The mob becomes radically intolerant of dissident voices and radically tolerant of their lying leaders at this juncture. The most important thing to do, Desmet says, is to continue speaking out, to interrupt the constant flow of propaganda with the truth, which serves to unsettle the hypnotized and causes them a lot of stress. It also tends to tamp down the behavior of the tyrants a bit and keep the mob from becoming even more cruel. And I think that's what we've done with our lawsuits and other activities. Desmet says we have to aim to keep a path for the small group that doesn't want to conform to the mainstream narrative. We have to continue to talk and establish a parallel society that produces its own foods, its own clinics and hospitals that can provide for the means of surviving outside mainstream society. That's kind of what we've been doing with the Make Americans Free Again groups. And if you want to start one, send me an email at pampopper@msn.com. I have a lot of worry about what's going on, but I know that the people that are in these groups are going to survive together. So you might want to consider this. Now, I've been saying for a long time that things are going to continue to get worse for a while. And many of you seem to find this hard to believe, or you asked me to explain further. Well, I'm going to tell you what Desmond says, and it's probably worse than anything I've thought of. He says, mass formation gets deeper as the narrative is repeated and as other narratives disappear. The only way to prevent it becoming deeper and more intense is to make sure that there's another narrative that leads to a certain cognitive dissonance and that at least means that people will be a little confused while following the mainstream narrative. So please join us and help to continue this dissonant voice, which is so important.
All right, just a different way of looking at it from a rather renowned thinker in Europe. And I believe everything he just said is accurate. We're seeing it. We're seeing, for example, how few people in the United States have protested anything compared to people around the world. And what I'm going to do now is I'm going to take you on a little journey. If you have a chance, and by the way, we are having some difficulty right now. It'll be corrected within a day or two. But I'm going to give you how, instead of going to PRN.fm until you're told, I want you to do the following. Go to PRN.live, L-I-V-E. Again, that's a backup system we have, PRN.live. All right? And that way you can still see it. Also, we're getting links to all of our other sites, GaryNall.com. But in any case, I want you to know, here's what we have as proof of what we present and what you at least have a quality source to get information and to share it. For example, just today, this is from a news and analysis, 130 research studies affirming the power of natural COVID immunity. Quote, below is a list of 130 research studies examining immunity gained from COVID infection as of October 17, 2021. The power of natural immunity has remained somewhat unacknowledged by the CDC throughout this pandemic. Reflect on, with COVID having such a high survival rate for people who are generally healthy, what's wrong with allowing them to acquire natural immunity through infection? Why is natural immunity rarely considered when it comes to healthy policy like vaccine mandates? Can people who have been vaccinated still experience the power of natural immunity through infection? How does the vaccine impact this science? And then 130 studies, because I put this up here because the head of the CDC said that even if you have natural immunity, you're still susceptible, in which case you should all be vaccinated. She made no exception. She's completely wrong. I mean, she's pathologically wrong. This is just disinformation. She's a Harvard professor. She's not stupid. But the information she's giving is dangerous and irresponsible, and she should be held accountable in a court of law for this. This represents crimes against humanity. The actual science, go through the studies. There are 130 of them. They're right there for you to examine. So that's one of the things we have up there for you. Then there's interesting video. There's no one talking in it. It's from Awakening Channel. They do good work, by the way. And it's called The World is Awakening from This Global Tyranny. And country after country, it shows you how many people are in the streets. There are drones up there showing you hundreds of thousands of people in some cities peacefully protesting, except when it comes to Germany. And in Germany, the peaceful protesters, who you see, they're just marching, not doing anything, not harming. Unlike in the United States, they're not protesting by, you know, burning down buildings, killing people, and causing mayhem. No, they're just peacefully protesting. Then the water cannons are shot at them, and other pepper spray. You got to see this to see why in the world are we not protesting. Then here are some of the articles from Dr. Clayson, medical doctor, from the Journal of Microbiology and Infectious Disease, COVID-19 RNA-based vaccines and the risk of prion disease. Now that's important because as the winner of the Nobel Prize and one of the leading virologists in the world, one of the leading scientists, Luc Montagnier at the Pasteur Institute, said he's concerned about an epidemic of prion or mad cow disease from this. Then I also have up there, separately from the old open source, I have the disturbing phrase died suddenly, comparing it from before the pandemic, people who died suddenly, meaning there was no reason for them to die, versus dying after they began the vaccine. And the numbers are just astronomical, from 58,000 to 183,000 people. So this is really just in months we're talking about. So we've never seen this in American history before, and yet not a word about this. Then we have up there also, let's see, we have another demonstration. Let's see, just see what I've got here. Going through some of them. This is an interesting article. This, again, is in a peer-reviewed journal. It's entitled, this is from the Vaccine Development and Social Control Psychopathology of Impaired Reasoning in the Global Push for Mass Compliance by Professor Daniel Browdy, Broudy, Professor of Applied Linguistics at the University in Okinawa. An interesting article about how we allow ourselves to be manipulated. Then this is from an article in Global Research, vaccinated English adults under 60 are dying at twice the rate of unvaccinated people the same age. And we have been for 6 months. The following chart may seem unbelievable or impossible, but it's correct, based upon weekly data from the British government. So contrary to their views that the unvaccinated are filling the hospitals and dying, they're not. It's the vaccinated who are infecting other people and dying at an accelerating rate and filling up the hospitals. And an article now the bad news, and it goes into this is all about the disinformation campaign that's been going on to get you to vaccinate. And then there's a chart. Now, this is a government chart. This is from the World Health Organization. We found the actual chart, and it starts off by giving you the number of people who died from 1972 to 1921 from mumps vaccine. It was 711 people in all those decades, almost 50 years. Rubella vaccine, and then it goes measles vaccine, smallpox vaccine, and then you get down here to COVID vaccine. 2,457,386 have had adverse reactions, adverse events. So you're talking about the World Health Organization's own charts show that more people have had more adverse effects and died in just the last 6 months from COVID vaccine than all of the vaccines, adverse events, and deaths in history. Since 1972. That's the World Health Organization. And it was just, we received it on November 12th. So we have it there for you. So the next time someone says, well, this is safe and effective, who says? Well, the government says. You mean the World Health Organization government? Are you sure? Give them the chart. Just give them the chart. We also have another article, COVID-19 vaccine-induced disease emerges as leading public health threat. That's another one. Then we have most vaxxed country in the world cancels Christmas due to huge COVID spike. Gibraltar is the most vaccinated country on earth today. The average is 2.7 doses per person. But despite its successful vaccine policies, the country is going through another huge spike in cases. So we show you that. So if they say get vaccinated and be safe, well, the most vaccinated country in the world, if everybody's been vaccinated, and no one's safe. All right. CDC admits crushing rights of natural immunity without proof they transmit the virus. That's something else. This is up there, the actual government chart showing that the people who get COVID naturally and have natural immunity are not spreading COVID. All right. Vaccines in your salad. This is from Health and Medical Science and Technology. Scientists growing medicine-filled plants to replace injections. Well, that's a great idea. Well, okay, one little caveat. What about vegans or people who juice a lot? You're going to be getting how much of a vaccine or how much of a medication? And you're going to do this with the RNA vaccines. So every time you eat something, you're going to re-vaccinate yourself. Oh, and by the way, if they say it's not for profit, the latest medical publication, Medical Economics, under vaccination, Pfizer, BioNTech, Moderna making $1,000 profit per second. Second. 1,000. Yeah. You can buy any politician for about $1.27. Imagine what $1,000 a second can do. We also have articles up here about Emory University trains, funds, and collaborates with Chinese military scientists linked to biowarfare research. And also a whole medical conference filled with people talking about using ivermectin. And so we have the British Medical Journal, COVID-19 researcher blows the whistle on data integrity issues on in Pfizer's vaccine trial. That's the British Medical Journal exposing Pfizer. You don't have that. We have it. Anyhow, that's just half of the articles I posted just today. These are factual articles, not opinion pieces. So you have a chance then to be well prepared so that you can go forward and give reasoned arguments on the issues that are important to you. All right? That's what this is all about. And again, go to prn.live, L-I-V-E, until we are able to fix PRN, prn.com, because we're having some problems there. And I'm sorry I don't have time to get to the other issues. I will be getting to them on our next program. I have my own commentary I want to share with you as well. And Jesse, I'll take a couple calls. People would like to call in now at 888-874-4888. I'll be happy to take your call. So once calls come in, Jesse will let me know, and I'll go to them. And just want to let you know, if you go to GaryandAll.com today, I have 3 specials. One is 70% off. I mean, these are deep specials on some things that can help people. I mean, really help you. There's a DVD on diabetes and a book that goes with it. But anyhow, go there and look for yourself. Just go to GaryNall.com. These are only good until this evening. All right? But no more diabetes special. I mean, and by the way, you can also get the book in Spanish if you want. So how to prevent and reverse diabetes naturally. It's a 3D DVD set. Some of the leading authorities in America that I could find, diabetic specialists, medical doctors, patients, etc. They're all in this documentary. And so we got the book and we got the documentary. That's a 70% savings. And just give you some of the ideas of what's in the book. Well, okay, instead of going to that, I'm going to, Jeff, hold on. Jeff from Maine, I'll be right with you. I go into recipes, the natural approach, experts talking in chapter 5, do vaccines contribute to diabetes? That's an interesting chapter. It's not your fault, you're fat, and why people take insulin, get overweight, sweet suicide, superfoods, your recipes. It's 431 pages, lots of good information, lots of resources in there. And the documentary has a whole lot of experts in it. The real definition of diabetes, what we do to review and then resist and reverse metabolic syndrome, pre-diabetic conditions, a strong link between diabetes and obesity, the foods you must avoid, the foods you should consume, psychological strategies, all of that is in there. Plus two other specials. So go to GaryNall.com, download the specials. We'll go up to Maine now and say hello to our guest speaker or our person calling in right now. Hi, your turn.
Hey, good afternoon, Gary. I've been out in front of NBC affiliate here in Portland, Maine for the last month or so, pointing out some testimony by Dr. McCullough that he gave about a month or so ago in a case on behalf of medical workers that were soon to be laid off because of the vaccine mandate. He points out that he said that 600 Mainers, senior citizens, died within 28 days of taking the COVID vaccine. I was just wondering what your thoughts were on that statistic, and just let you know that I'm out here. I got the signs up in front of the NBC affiliate. People are looking at me like I'm a nut.
You're not a nut. You're a conscientious person who's done your homework, and Dr. McCullough is one of the most qualified people in the world. He is the most cited cardiologist and kidney specialist in the world. He has more articles published and more scientific citations than anyone else, and he's risked his whole career to fight for the truth. So he is a qualified source. And remember, they don't have the truth on their side. They have propaganda. Doesn't it tell you something when everyone from NBC, ABC, CBS, Washington Post, CNN, all the other networks, including Fox, with a few exceptions there, but everyone else, they're all talking from the same talking points. Well, who gives them those talking points? Do you think it's just a random happenstance that everyone in the media says the same identical things every time there's an issue? No. No, that's a coordinated propaganda campaign. And you don't want to be a part of a groupthink. And unfortunately right now, and this really is disheartening to those of us who grew up believing in liberal causes of life, it is the Democratic-controlled inner Washington, D.C. Beltway group. And they're about probably in the neighborhood of 200,000 people who are involved directly or indirectly, or benefit directly or indirectly. You're talking about the pharmaceutical company, the military-industrial complex, the intelligence agencies, the security apparatuses, the banking community. They're all interconnected. They're all owned. And I'm going to go into this in great depth and show you that 10 companies own 90% of these companies by owning controlling shares of stock in the company, and hence they follow the dictates. So even when companies are in the same business, supposedly competitors, they're both owned by the same owners. And that's why you don't see anyone ever held accountable for misdeeds or inactions. But they can't apologize. They can't change now, because the world would come crashing down and their whole house of cards would implode. They have to just get worse. They have to get more militant. They have to become more draconian. And that means prepare, if you're a person protesting, for the government or its agents to find that you are an enemy of the state or a domestic terrorist, one and the same in their minds. And they live in these protected cocoons. They never have to think about what it is to concern themselves about their next meal or whether they can afford something or not. So good for you, because you have more truth and hence more honesty on your side than every one of those mockingish employees of NBC. Thank you. And I'm looking at the clock. Jesse, do we have anyone else? Otherwise, we're going to have to sign off here. Okay, so we're going to sign off now. Thank you all for listening. And have a nice day.